All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Awesome. Take two. Mark.
Set up.
And
action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the show. I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
What's up?
David, listen.
Yo.
I'm not the same man that I was a week ago.
Why?
Don't worry. I'm going to keep doing the show anyway. But I'm a pretty big deal now.
Oh, my gosh. What happened?
Yeah. I was featured on the cover of a major industry magazine.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Is this what's right in front of us?
Yeah. Now, okay. All right. I was not featured on the cover.
Okay.
But I was a major feature story in
Okay,
I wasn't a major feature story in the magazine.
Well, this is progressing well.
But I was featured as a little, so the National Association of Theater Owners has a national magazine called Box Office Pro. Mm. And we all read it, kind of skim through it. You know, it's kind of light reading. It's mostly fluff. You know, some what I always make the joke is they have cutting news stories, you know, on exactly what happened 2 months ago. So if you really want some hard hitting journalism on some trends that happened last year, boy, this is
the place to go.
This is the magazine for you. But I was featured on the inside.
Oh, my
word. They do like a little story about, you know, their members. Like,
whoa.
So this was my time to shine. I got a nice little interview. I mentioned a nice little shout out for the podcast. So we'll see. David's looking at it now. He's trying to soak it all up.
When did this get released?
This dropped about a week ago, a few days ago.
Oh, a few days ago.
Like a week ago.
Or
yeah.
Or at the beginning of the month.
No, like within this week. Like today is Sunday. It probably dropped last Tuesday or Wednesday.
Okay. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, wow. Yeah.
I was in my head, I'm thinking about our numbers and trying to think of if I saw a difference. Yeah. That's pretty cool. You got a picture with Star-Lord here.
I got a picture with Star-Lord.
With the whole crew, the 501st.
I got the 501st featured.
And I just want everyone to know, Penn's not just a guy with a picture. He's got a black and white Art Deco photo of himself in here.
Big time.
Like, that's when you know when you're big. It's like, he's so big, color doesn't even do him justice. we gotta go black and white.
I'm a pretty big deal. Pretty.
I mean, it's a portrait shot, but you can feel his pinky out.
Oh, yeah.
Just
big time.
Below the
cut. Yeah.
Look at that. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, man. So anyway, even though I'm now, you know, a big deal, I think I can still manage the podcast.
You can still be here?
Yeah.
I like how it says NATO staff hits the road, but like, I'm sure that stands for something other than like
the North Atlantic Treaty Organization.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we have a joint venture. There's two groups. There's the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, which is a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
But they're
No. Yeah, more of a global scale.
Right, a little
no
bit.
Big deal.
No, because the National Association of Theater Owners is also NATO.
Yeah, it's slightly different.
Yeah, you know what? I had a proposal last year to the NATO leadership that we share some costs of like some joint branding with the other NATO. Like, let's all use the same logo.
Come on. I don't understand why not.
No, they didn't go for it.
Now, to be fair, there is a biker on the front of this, like a bicyclist. So I thought maybe it was going to be you on the cover here.
The cyclist on the cover is a promotion for The Climb, which is a Sony Pictures film. And I have officially reached out to Sony Pictures Classics. And there's something going on in the world, again, in studio world, because we are yet again playing dial a new studio rep. So three different, right, exactly. Three different studios, I got new reps this week.
Oh, snap.
Yeah, not Sony. I still got my man Chris. He's been my guy 15 years now. Love him.
Hardcore Chris.
But I did reach out to Chris to find out, like, who's my rep of the day at Sony Picture Classics. Connected with her. Had a little conversation. We're non-committal, apparently, on The Climb. But I want it. If I can get it, I'm going to get it.
Yeah.
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 And I got a new guy at Lionsgate, which was hilarious because I just got through breaking in my new guy.
It's like as soon as you train him, someone wants to adopt him.
And now I got a new guy, but I think it's my old guy. But he wasn't my old guy long enough for me to remember.
You live a confusing life, man.
Oh, tell me about it.
Oh, my word.
Yeah. Jeez. And then all these guys want to confirm this movie, I Still Believe, which was really funny because I wanted to book it for Ephrata, but then my plans changed. I had nothing to do with the movie, not passing judgment on the film, but just saying I got a different idea for what I wanted to do in Ephrata. Mm. So, but I had been begging and pleading with my old new guy to get it for Ephrata. He finally comes back and says no, and then I get a new guy and he's like, where do we stand? And I'm like, I'm all good. I don't need anything from you.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was a pretty busy week here with the studios.
Yeah, I saw the trailer for that this week and I made opinions.
You know what else I did this week, which was bad news?
What's that?
It was unfortunate news. I had a really nice day planned. I was going to spend the day in New York City. I was going to see Lovebirds in the morning and then attend the screening of Quiet Place 2 in the afternoon. But my local responsibilities took priority and I was not able to attend either. So anyway, what do you got? You got some movie news outside of studios?
Can you believe it?
I can't.
Things happen.
I don't believe it.
Things happen.
You know what I'd like to do in a future episode?
What's that?
I would like us to report 10 news stories. And 8 of them are real news stories.
2 are false.
And you and I each make up our own news stories. And then challenge the listener. We should have like a cash prize or like a good dinner prize or some cool prize. And we'll read 10 news stories. 8 of them will be fake or 8 of them will be real. And David has a fake news story and I have a fake news story. Right. And the listeners have to decide which one was real.
Better yet, we each have to bring 4 plus the fake one to the table.
Oh, yes.
And this way, not even us know which one's fake. So we're not giggling our little heads off.
Giggling?
I don't know what you're talking about.
This is a serious... We don't giggle.
You're a big time magazine guy now.
Yeah, I'm a big shot, David. I don't giggle anymore. I've grown past that.
Clearly. Well, here's some news to giggle
about.
Yeah,
hit me.
All right.
Gigglebot.
Monster movies.
Hit me, Gigglebot.
Gigglebot. Monster movies are back, man.
I love it. I love it. I'm so excited.
Right?
And really.
Universal's not about to sit on this.
No.
So they've got James Wan. Hot off the back of...
He must be directing.
Well, you'd think he was.
Or producing.
Right? Well, no, he's going to take a producer role.
Okay.
But, I mean, kind of maybe in name only because it's his production company is going to produce it.
Dope.
Right? Now, it's a story about a bunch of kids who find out their neighbor is making a monster.
Yes.
Have we heard? I mean, this is Frankenstein, right?
Right.
I mean.
It must be.
Who knows?
Oh, boy. Here's a fun idea, though. Mm. What if it's not Frankenstein? What if the neighbor is making a monster, but they're creating a werewolf a la Tusk? Remember Tusk? I don't want to die in Canada.
What if it's Invisible Man sequel? And she just has the suit down there. No, I'm kidding. But... Universal, man, they're not giving up on monsters.
I tell you, I don't know, you know, you guys are all going to make fun of me because I don't remember the track record or the commercial success or failures, but instinctively, I sort of trust Universal with this type of movie. Like, I feel like they can do it. No? What am I forgetting?
Dracula Untold, The Mummy, what was the other, there was another vampire one that they tried to do,
Van Helsing. Like
Dog.
Those were before the podcast.
They were trying to start what was called Universal's Dark Universe.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
And it died.
Yeah, that's too bad.
Johnny Depp was going to be the Invisible Man.
You sure it wasn't Robert Downey Jr.?
No, I'm positive. They had a photo of like the characters all together.
Oh, man.
Johnny Depp was the Invisible Man. Anyway.
Speaking of Tessa Thompson.
Yeah.
She has indicated she let it slip.
Yeah. Big news. Probably going to change the way you view this movie completely.
Really?
I mean...
No, I can't tell if you're trying to be sarcastic or not, but I... no, I think it is big news. Mm-hmm. You don't?
I don't think it's a spoiler. I mean, the way they were reporting on it was like, oh my gosh, this changes everything. And I'm like, no, I mean, it's cool. Right, I think it's cool.
Let's bring our listeners in the loop. What's the news?
She let it slip that Christian Bale will play the villain in Thor Love and Thunder.
AKA Thor 4.
Yeah. Or
Thor. Let's just call it fourth.
Anyway, I think that's really cool.
I think it's awesome. I don't understand why you're poo-pooing it.
No, I'm not poo-pooing.
Oh, yes, you are. Wind the taste up. Here's David.
It's no big deal.
No. I just don't think it's spoiler territory.
Okay.
I think it's cool because there were rumors that he was in it, and she's basically confirming that, and that he's the villain.
Okay.
I think that's cool, too.
Yeah.
I just don't think it, like, changes any outlook on the movie. I mean, I was already pumped for the movie.
Right, okay.
Like, you know.
All right. I was also excited for
fourth.
I was also excited for Love and Thunder, and I'm still excited for Love and Thunder. And I just think this is big news because I think that Christian Bale, for better or for worse, he does not do paycheck movies.
No.
Right? I mean, if he's doing a movie, he's all in.
Right.
God help you if you try to walk through his shot. Remember that incident when he was filming?
You come in here, la-dee-da! Right.
You walking through my shot. So I know the guy's an ass or whatever, mm-hmm. but I think he makes great movies.
Yeah.
And I think if he's agreed to sign on to Love and Thunder, he's going to do a great job with it. And to me, this gives the movie an extra layer. Not that it needed it, not that it was whatever. It's already going to be a huge movie. But it gives it another addition of heft, of gravitas.
Yeah. Dude, big words.
All right. Everybody, just hold on. Pat, go get a couple. David's going to go look it up. Get him a dictionary.
Come on now. No, I do think this is cool. Also, shout out to Tessa Thompson because Westworld Season 3 starts this week.
Yeah.
You're not on board with Westworld, are you?
No, I am. But I'm totally on board, but I'm behind.
All the way at the beginning behind?
No. Okay. No. I'm like, what happened was I started the beginning of season two and I couldn't remember stuff. I got confused. So I feel like what I need to do is quick go back to all the way to the beginning and crank out two seasons worth.
There you go. That's your plan. All right. James Gunn.
Jimmy G.
Yeah. Now, this is a side thing. So James Gunn has an idea for a Drax and Mantis spinoff movie. But this was revealed via, I believe, Dave Bautista said that James Gunn has an idea, a wonderful, great idea, and he really wants to do this movie. But Dave Bautista does. Do we want to see this movie?
I have no idea. I don't know what you're talking about.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right.
Drax.
Oh, right.
And Mantis, the girl with the little, like...
Yeah. Oh, I see. Do we want the two of them to carry a movie?
Yeah.
I thought you were, like, spin-off from that.
Oh, no. A movie of those two characters.
Okay, now I'm up to speed. Yeah, why not?
Look, if James Gunn does it,
yeah.
It could be really cool. Do I want this?
No.
No. But that doesn't mean that it wouldn't be wantable. I just don't know what I'm missing.
To me, this is like traveling to, like, I don't know, a cool country. Like, it would be cool, but if I'm going to travel, I want to go to Italy. I want to see Paris. Check out London. Like it was. It's a cool idea, but if James Gunn is going to be making another movie, let's have him make some more. Like, there's other priorities.
Right.
I think his time could be used better. Could be better spent.
Right. Let's put it this in a movie analogy. Do I want to see a spinoff movie of Han from Fast and the Furious? Not really, but we got one. So if you would have asked me if I wanted to see one, I would have been. But I want to see a movie of Hobbs and Shaw spinoff. I would have been like, yeah, let's do it. So that's kind of how where we are. All right, what do you have?
I mean, this is just a statement of fact. Mm. It's not really a whole lot to talk about, except unless you and I want to express opinions about it. Mm. But the interwebs coughed up a picture of the new Batmobile.
Whoa, like a cat on the rug.
Right. Yes. That's exactly what it was like. It took me a minute to get there, but I got you. Yeah. Interwebs a la Men in Black.
Yeah.
or which one had where the cat had the Tesseract?
Captain Marvel.
Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
And God, that movie was so good. I don't know. So first of all, if you're listening to this and you haven't seen it, just Google, 2020 Batmobile. Mm-hmm. I thought it was cool looking. What did you think?
Yeah, I'm on the fence. Like, I mean, I think it looks cool. I think it matches the Batman. And at the same time, I'm like, this looks very origin story-ish, which has me a little, I don't really need to see that again. But I don't know where I sit on it. Because it also, here's the thing, it looks cool as hell, right? But you can also see the engine, and my brain's like, well, now, the bad guy wouldn't have a lot of trouble getting into that engine,
Yeah,
you could shoot and hit that, or it doesn't look very armored. Whatever, it's just a shot. Like, it's probably way cooler than I know. So,
I think we've discussed before how much I enjoy the Dark Knight trilogy. Mm-hmm. Love it. One of the things I don't like about it is I don't like that Batmobile.
Oh yeah, I agree with that.
I don't want a Batmobile that is almost like magic. Mm. You know what I mean? Where like you jump in and it all automatically transforms all this stuff and. All of a sudden pulls things out of its butt and, just transforms into way more material than it possibly could have been. And like, I would really be on board for a Batmobile that's an actual Batmobile, like a car, like for a super cool souped up. Now you can have all kinds of guns and weapons and shields and technology, and that's all good. But I would love a Batmobile that, what if the Batmobile had a door? Like, what if he didn't jump in a la Dukes of Hazzard, you know, and instead he opened the door like, our boy James Bond?
I think really the only thing, like, I think this car looks really, really cool. It's just the exposed engine just makes my analytical mind go, wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
That's all people could shoot at that. But
all right, we got some schedule news to go over.
Oh, boy.
This, I guess we could have discussed this when I was talking about studio news. This is part of why it was such a crazy week with the studios.
Yeah.
Everybody knows by now, we were reminded by multiple listeners. No Time to Die, the new James Bond movie, was pushed back to Thanksgiving. It was supposed to be released April 10th. Trolls World Tour, was supposed to be released April 17th, has now scooted up to take the April 10th spot.
Thank God.
And what's interesting is now that they freed up April 17th, STX Studio has taken My Spy, starring your boy Dave Bautista, and put that in the April 17th spot. So I saw a commercial on TV this morning for My Spy that said in theaters on Friday, meaning March 13th. So I guess the ad campaign hasn't gotten the same memo, but the studio has notified theaters that it is, in fact, not being released on March 13th, and it is being released April 17th.
We're pushing it back a month.
Yeah, to get a better spot.
Man, My Spy has been so heavily pushed. It's like I can't watch a YouTube video without it playing an ad for that movie.
Yeah.
Which has me worried when they push something that hard.
No,
I don't know. Maybe that's just me.
Well, yeah. All right, David, we got to set some ground rules here. I don't think that we can say that we're worried about a film that neither one of us gives a rip shit about, right?
I have a lot of stakes in this movie.
Are you telling me that you cared at all about My Spy? You had some kind of an opinion. You had some kind of investment in the literature being appropriately and respectfully managed on screen.
I had definite opinions. If something is going to crash and burn, I want it to be a shock and awe to all the people who thought it wasn't going to.
Listen, I can tell you from a mile away what My Spy is.
Oh, what is it?
It's a $10 million opening. Maybe it's an $8 million. Maybe it's a $12 million. But, it's a good middle of the road opening, good solid kids movie that you put out. You know, there's a reason it's not being released in June. Like, we all know what it is. It's a good kids movie. You take your kids when you don't know what else to do with them. Some people are going to come to see Dave Bautista, whatever, and that'll bump it up a little bit. He's got some good draw. But I'm not worried about it because I don't care about it. Because it's a whatever movie.
Yeah,
and I say that with all due respect. I'm a whatever guy. You know what I mean? Like it's just, it is what it is. Like, now you want to start talking about James Bond or Star Wars or some of the franchises that we are invested in, Batman, for example, you know?
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Well,
I'm just saying, My Spy does not rise to the level of being worried about.
6 years from now, when My Spy 3 is coming out, and we're like, I can't wait
for the next My Spy
franchise, My Spy 3, spying more.
Thank God, it's finally here. Can you believe we're finally here, David?
Who would have thought?
We're going to do like a getting ready for My Spy 3 episode, and then a My Spy 3 episode, and then a week after My Spy 3.
Where are we now? Right. Where's the franchise going?
Right. Oh my God. All right. So anyway, I will say, I do want to report, because a lot of people asked me, and I think a lot of people were asking themselves, when the news about James Bond broke, people were like, oh, is this the beginning? Is this the first domino? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, are all the studios now going to start pulling movies? And the answer is absolutely not. Casino Royale, No Time to Die is a unique animal because it's in an unusual situation where it's a massive franchise with, you know, one of the most iconic characters in movie history, but the studio itself is relatively small. I mean, MGM does not have a stable of other franchises and other content to pull from. So how James Bond does or doesn't perform at the box office is a really big deal to MGM. So my understanding is that Disney is standing by the March 27th release date of Mulan. Paramount is standing by the March 20th release date of Quiet Place 2. Yada, yada, yada. All the other studios are... I haven't heard any whispers other than the only people moving dates are moving dates as a result of No Time to Die being freeing up a big weekend. So the answer is no. I don't think that's the beginning of studios pulling movies.
And in my opinion... epidemic aside, like, Bond should be in November.
Yeah.
I've always felt that. The fact that this one wasn't in November seemed extremely weird to me.
Yeah.
And I doubt that that has anything to do with them moving it, but it just, to me, it almost made me like, ah, good.
Yeah.
Like, that's when I want to watch Bond, is in November.
Yeah.
So
it's going to be interesting to see how they handle the marketing.
Oh, like, turn it around.
Like, come October. Like, for example, the week, a couple days before they moved it back, we got this beautiful, massive banner, which is now hanging in the lobby, that says April 10th.
Right.
007, April 10th.
Yeah, you guys covered that up, right? Someone did.
We just covered up the date.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah.
All right.
Hey, so Simon Pegg, he comes forward. He's always talking about Star Trek. I love Star Trek. He says, there probably won't be another Star Trek based in the Kelvin universe, which is the movies with Chris Pine and Zachary Quinto. That's called the Kelvin universe. Anyway, there's probably not going to be any more movies. He said it's not like the Avengers or, you know, something like that, or DC movie. They only make about $500 million. So they're kind of middle ground movies. And if they do what they keep saying they want to do with this next movie, they'd be somewhere around $200 million, and it would have to make three times that to turn the profit. And he doesn't think that it'll happen because the investment won't match the payoff. So he's saying it's probably done for the Kelvin timeline. Not Star Trek movies in general, just...
What do you make of that?
I think he's probably right. He also, in the article, he also went on to say how it was the 50th anniversary of the original Star Trek when the last movie came out. And they did not promote that aspect whatsoever. And they really, he feels that hurt the movie, and that it was just kind of a mess. They had this big thing that would have drawn out a lot of people,
right,
and they didn't use it whatsoever. And he's, you know, if they're not going to promote it, they can't expect to make the money they want. Now, wasn't the best Star Trek in the world. I'm not, you know, but he has a point.
I'm just sitting here thinking, and I'm not a financial guy, but if the movie makes $500 million and you spend $200 million to make the movie, let's say you spend $100 million to promote the movie. I mean, get my calculator out here.
Well, here's the
isn't that a $200 million profit?
Here's the thing. Now, I hear what you're saying on promoting, but a lot of the stats that I've been reading is that promotion is double, it's the same amount as they spent to make the movie.
Oh.
So if they spent $200 million to make the movie, then you should expect a $200 million marketing budget.
Okay.
So then they would only
$400 million.
So and I guess to be profitable, he said it should make three times the original. So he's saying the $200 million budget, it should make $600 million.
Okay.
So it's still, it's...
I gotcha.
Yeah.
That's a tough pill for regular guys to swallow.
Oh, you don't deal in the mills?
I'm just saying, like, I get it that high finance is a whole different world.
Right.
But it's just so strange. Like, if I had the opportunity to make $100 million on a project...
You would make $100 million.
I'd jump all over it.
Yeah.
But I guess by the time you get to the point where you're able to put together a $200 million project, you think differently.
Right. Right. You want to make you want to make a profit, plus you want it to pay for your next movie.
Yeah.
So anyway.
This next news item is clearly the news of the week.
Oh, obviously.
I mean, take it from here, David.
I mean... If I were to ask you, who's the ultimate tough guy?
I mean, it's a no-brainer.
Right?
Hands down.
Yeah. I mean, clearly Ben Stiller.
Ben Stiller.
So he should be in the ultimate tough guy movie.
Right.
Guess what? He's in Fast 9, apparently.
Awesome.
I don't know how to take this because...
Hey, this guy, I don't want you making fun of Ben Stiller. No. He goes toe-to-toe with Robert De Niro, the ultimate bad guy in Meet the Parents.
That's true. I just want to know what kind of bad guy he's doing. Is he going to do like, is he going to go full BA or is he going to be Ben Stiller, like a guy pretending to be like a badass? Like, just which way do you think he'll go?
All right. All kidding aside.
Yeah.
Can we just be serious for a minute? Just be real.
Hold on. Okay. I'm ready now.
Okay. I'm glad you had that moment.
I had to center myself. Yeah, yeah.
Forget it. I don't have faith. All kidding aside,
yeah.
Ben Stiller is an amazing actor.
Yeah, I think
we all know that. And he makes funny movies and he's a funny looking little dude, but he's an incredibly talented actor. And my prediction on F9 is that he will play a legit bad guy. I predict that he will not ham it up or, you know, try to be comic relief. I think he goes in and plays a bad guy.
You think he's going to be the baddie? Well, we already know Charlize Theron and is the baddie.
Oh, I guess I assumed that he was going to be one of the bad guys.
He could be a good guy.
You think he joins the team as a good guy?
Or like a government guy, kind of like, what's his name? Kurt Russell is in those movies.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I just don't think
I said Kurt Russell, and I noticed a look on your face like I didn't know Kurt Russell was in these movies.
I didn't.
Someone's not familiar with the Fast universe.
Not intimately, no.
My dude, get on board.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think Ben Stiller is going to play it straight and be a tough guy.
Okay. Cool.
All right. I got one last piece of news.
Okay.
This is not big news like Ben Stiller, big news, or like the time I was on the cover of Box Office Pro.
It's hard to get that big.
I'm not really on the cover, per se, at all.
You were the cover of that page.
Yes, yes, I was on the cover of that page, yes, yes. Did I ever tell you about the time I did a mountain bike race?
No.
I've only done one legit mountain bike race in my life. Mm. And I went out with Kayla and my father-in-law to some godforsaken forest in the middle of nowhere in central Pennsylvania.
Oh, boy.
And the race was you ride this mountain bike around this incredibly difficult loop. And the race is like how many guys or how many loops can you do like in, let's say, 6 hours or whatever the time is. Well, I spent a lot of the loop walking my bike over. Guys would be flying past me, you know, fully like biking.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm like carrying my bike over these obstacles that I can't ride over. So I complete one loop and I'm pretty pleased with myself for completing it, but it's clear to me that I'm in over my head. So I tell the race director, you know, I'm out, mark me down one loop, you know, time for me to go home. And he's like, oh, is this your first race? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, oh, it's not a good race for newbies. And, you know, probably wasn't smart to sign up for it, but we're glad you came and had a nice day and everything like that. So I get done talking to him and I go back over to Kayla and Bob. And they're both, you know, people who love you. They're cheering you on. Good job. You did great, Dad. And Bob goes, hey, this is really great. You were the first one done. So from then on, I always tell people how, you know, every time about my mountain bike race, I finished first. And then they say, oh, my God, you won a mountain bike race? Oh, well, no, I mean, I didn't win it. I did finish first, though.
I love that.
Yeah. So anyway, this news story I think is very relevant and very serious and interesting because I think it raises a question. So we're talking about director Kelly Reichardt, who did you ever see Meek's Cutoff in 2012?
No.
Me neither. But this is the director. She's the person behind the upcoming movie First Cow. We talked about First Cow last week. We watched a trailer where the white guy brings the cow to a settlement, you know. And
yeah.
The trailer is currently playing, I believe, in front of Emma. But anyway, Kelly Reichardt. All right, I'll read the headline and then I'll tell you what I think about it.
Okay.
Kelly Reichardt has called out Quentin Tarantino for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood as being way too macho. She goes on to say that she doesn't understand how this macho ethos can still be in filmmaking and why do people still love to see, you know, athletic macho white guys without shirts on beating each other up, and she doesn't understand the macho sort of mythology, how that is still so prevalent in Hollywood. So part of me thinks, okay, you've raised an interesting question, you know, and you know, we love the energy of seeing more women directors, and we love the energy of seeing more women leads, and you know, all that kind of stuff, and you know, we're all on board with that, but I do have to call her out a little bit because two reasons. First of all, she's promoting First Cow. So the only, like why does she feel the need to give an interview and all of a sudden start commenting out of the blue on Tarantino's movie, which is, you know, a year or 6 months or 3 months or whatever,
right.
But it's old, it's irrelevant. Like, we've moved on. The Oscars came and went. Nobody's thinking about Hollywood and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood anymore. And now she feels the need to take him on. So my first thing is, okay, it's a little bit of a gimmick because she's trying to get her name in the news by insulting this guy, this, you know, iconic director. Whether you like him or not, he's a big name. So if you're going to go seriously in the press and start badmouthing him, then that's going to become a story. But the second piece that rubs me a little bit the wrong way is that Tarantino was interviewed when Meek's Cutoff came out in 2012, which is also a period piece. I didn't see it, but I, you know, I looked it up and it looks like a period piece similar, you know, Western out West being civilized and that kind of stuff. When that movie came out, he ripped it apart.
Oh.
So when that movie came out, he, you know, spoke out against it as being a bad movie. And so now I feel like, oh, she's just taking this opportunity, like tit for tat.
To get back out.
Yeah. So it feels to me a little bit hollow, a little bit disingenuous, but I will ultimately, first of all, agree with her. You know, we love seeing, you know, the Little Women. That was one of our favorite movies of the year. We're going to talk about Emma soon, and Captain Marvel we mentioned, and, you know, stuff like that. So we're pretty much on her side in agreement that, you know, we like the direction that energy is coming from. And then second of all, I'll just give her kudos. Like, hey, good for you. You got your name in the news. Like, now we're talking about First Cow for no other reason than the fact that she wanted to badmouth Tarantino.
Right.
So Anyway.
We had a news article similar to this recently. I can't remember what it was, where someone drew in another thing.
Yeah.
What, do you remember what that was?
I don't remember what it was, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. And the whole reason they were getting in the news is because they were dragging in someone else or something else.
Right.
Yeah.
But it got them in the news.
Right.
So good for you.
Right. All right. Well, let's move on to trailers.
AKA my favorite part of the show. After listeners' notes.
There's a lot of trailers this week. As always.
But there's only one butt boy.
There's only
David.
One butt boy.
Thank God.
Last week I brought this to you because I was like, check out this premise. It's insane.
Right.
And you were like, why is this news? And I was like, read the premise. I mean, come on. Now we've got a trailer.
I got to tell you, last week.
For butt boy.
Last week when you made us read that news.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll have to go back and listen to the tape, but I believe I left the room in protest. I believe I refused to partake in the discussion of Butt Boy because I was convinced this had to be a pretend news story.
Right.
Like, there's no way there was actually a movie called Butt Boy.
And then it won film festivals or something like that. Right. Yeah.
And then lo and behold, now we have a trailer for it. Butt Boy.
And it's kind of a compelling trailer.
It's a pretty incredible trailer. My only problem with this trailer is I don't need to see so many butts, but I feel like, all right, well, maybe that's just gonna be.
And I don't know what's hallucinating or not, but the one scene that I'll never get out of my mind is he's in, the detective is in a cop car, and I don't know if he's trying to drive away or not, and the other guy's mooning him, and it's like the car is getting sucked into his butt, and he's like, trying to jump away.
this movie looks absolutely awful and wonderful, and I can't wait to see. I'm 100% going to watch this movie.
Oh, yeah, and I love how even the movie makes fun of itself, where the chief of police is like, you want me to believe that there's an investigation?
Right. Yeah, that exchange is beautiful.
So this movie is only going to be in theaters for 11 days before it's on video on demand.
Right.
Will it see the light of day in cinema?
It might.
Or is this more of a New Main type of film?
No. New Main is the opposite.
Oh.
New Main only plays the top best movies. Oh,
the biggest and best.
The biggest. We don't have room to fool around with titles. You know what
this
I mean?
This is the top? Oh, this is the bottom, clearly. Right?
I don't know.
Play of words.
Honestly, this movie opens April 3rd, so I'm not even sure if I have time to turn that around. But I definitely will consider. I definitely will reach out because it's so ridiculous. And it actually looks okay.
Yeah, that's the surprising part.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, moving on. Give us the next one.
Artemis Fowl.
Yeah.
Big Disney movie comes out in May. Is Judi Dench in that? I didn't get to do my research on that, but I thought I saw a glimpse of her in a car scene. She didn't have any lines, and I don't know if that was like, if I have an eagle eye for picking up that detail or if I'm totally making it up. But nonetheless, Artemis Fowl looks really great. The trailer dropped. I was really impressed with the trailer. No?
Oh, I think this movie looks horrible.
Oh, no.
Oh, man. This movie looks like second-rate CGI. Just like a kid in the outfit that doesn't quite fit. I don't know. Like, it just does not look appealing to me at all. The premise does, but the execution does not.
Interesting.
I just think it looks subpar. Like,
you know, I gave
Spy
I guess
Kids graphics.
I guess I'm giving it a little bit more of a pass because I feel like it is really the trailer shows that they are really gearing it towards a kids movie.
Yeah, that's clear.
Like a kids movie, not like a Marvel movie.
Yeah. And maybe, I don't know. I don't know what to think. I just think that it looks poorly put together. The graphics look very aged.
Yeah.
Like they're not there and the characters aren't acting like they're there.
Huh.
So they were put in as an afterthought.
Huh. I didn't pick up on that.
Well, apparently you didn't have your pinky cranked out as much as I did.
Right. Here I was, just innocently relaxed, thinking
this
I could just have
great fun.
Oh, it looks like fun!
Well, a movie that looks equally
I'm
hilarious.
Sorry for trying to have a good time.
Oh, my gosh.
David.
You should be.
Don't let it happen again.
Antebellum got a new trailer.
Janelle Monáe.
Yeah.
You know, I did a little research on that. I believe a few weeks ago we were called out for not doing research prior to the show.
I don't think that's ever happened.
No, but I imagined it.
Yeah. I don't know why.
I still don't really do any research, but I've always tried to like look up different characters. Mm. Like it's interesting. I did that before the show. You know, like that's always just sort of something I've always done. You see a face and you're like, where do I know that from? Or where did I see her in? And sometimes when you click on that and do a little research and dig some stuff up, you learn some interesting things. So you may remember Janelle Monáe. She was amazing in Hidden Figures. Mm-hmm. She was in Moonlight. She was in Harriet. These are all pretty serious movies. Pretty good movies. You know, pretty, I don't want to say heavy, but, you know, powerful, inspiring stories. She was also in Rio, too. So let me recap.
Yeah.
Hidden Figures, Moonlight, Harriet, and Rio 2.
Which one do you think's on the top of her list of achievements?
I guarantee you she had more fun doing Rio 2 than any of those other movies.
And she probably only worked for 2 days.
Although, I don't know, Hidden Figures, that was a pretty incredible cast. I bet you she had a ball making that movie. That was an inspiring movie, but it wasn't like heart-wrenching. It wasn't like... I mean, it was powerful and inspiring, but it wasn't hard to watch.
Those ladies probably had fun on set.
There's no way she had fun making Moonlight. Nobody on that set had fun.
They were crying the whole time.
Oh, my God.
In tears.
Anyway, the interesting detail that I thought was interesting, Janelle Monáe in Rio 2 played a character named Dr. Monáe. I love when they do stuff like that. You know where else they do a lot of that?
Where?
In The Office. A lot of the cast of The Office is played by their same first names.
Really?
Yeah. Angela, Stanley. Yeah. A lot of those characters. Not Michael Scott, not Jim Halpert, not Pam, but some of the smaller characters have the same names.
That's cool. Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry. So I got sidetracked. The new Antebellum trailer. It revealed a lot. It told you a lot more about the story.
Yeah.
I thought the trailer looked amazing. This is are we calling it a horror movie or a thriller?
I think it's
a little bit, it's from the, whatever you call Us and Get Out.
It's in that line.
It's in that line.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's that family.
Yeah. Movies that are marketed as horror, but usually wind up being more thriller.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought this movie the trailer looked compelling. I was excited about it. I thought the CGI was fine.
I agree.
Now that I know we're supposed to comment on the CGI, let me just tell you how they spun that E around backwards in the really title treatment. See how I said title treatment? That's some grown up. That's business right there.
Wow,
that's grown up stuff.
You really should be. All right.
Did you like the Antebellum trailer?
I did. I actually liked it a lot. It does reveal more of the plot and shows a little bit more of the current time scenario, yeah. I think.
This is going to be a hard movie for you.
Too much time jumping around?
Yes. Yes, because the premise is like, what if the past came and chose you from the future
to save
yourself tomorrow last week?
I think this movie will be fine for me. I think talking to you about it in any capacity is going to be hard for me.
I can't wait. I'm all excited.
That's where the real struggle comes in.
Remember Eva Green?
Yeah, she kind of dropped off for a while.
A little bit. Love her. Mm-hmm. Wasn't she in some of the James Bond, at least one of the James, I forget
the first
which one,
right?
But
Casino Royale?
Yeah, yes. Yeah. I want to say she was in Casino Royale. She's got this French movie called Proxima.
Mm.
And it's directed by Alice Winokur, a French director, who I think is a little bit of a new, she's sort of coming on the scene. This movie, Proxima, is totally worth watching the trailer. Mm-hmm. What are you grinning?
It's called Proxima.
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 It's called Zima.
Proxima.
The drink.
Proxima.
Proxima.
Proxima?
Proxima.
Proxima.
Why do I ever talk to you? Proxima.
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 Proxima. God! Just
got him, folks, ladies and gentlemen.
I can't with you.
Put one on my scorecard. Proxima stars Ava Green and Matt Dillon. Points to Penn for winning this. Go watch the trailer. It's worth watching. You'll never see it in a theater.
Yeah, no, that's probably true.
Scoob, the final trailer. The movie Scoob opens on May 15th. And the best part of this trailer is Scooby and Shaggy in the movie theater at the end of the trailer saying, oh, our movie's going to be an origin story. And then Shaggy says, I want The Rock to play me. And Scooby's like, that's not going to happen.
Yeah. This movie looks cute for a kid's movie.
It's going to be fun.
Interesting fact, first feature-length theatrical animated Scooby-Doo movie.
Huh? Really?
Yeah.
That is interesting.
Yeah. So anyway.
The next movie is called Followed.
Yeah.
And the movie after that is called Connected. Connected looks really good. Were you surprised at how good Connected was?
Yeah. Okay. First off, Followed.
Oh, you want to talk about Followed?
No. Just forget about Followed. Yeah. Connected, Sony Pictures Animation.
Yes.
And it started off, I was like, here we go, another animated movie from people who don't do animated movies well. Right. And it started off, and I was like, But then the jokes started to creep in. And I was like, all right, I kind of get the comic timing, like when she's like, Project Get Dad to Kiss the Dog. There's constant putting the dog when he's about to kiss the mom and stuff. And he's like, dang it, Katie.
Dang it, Katie.
Yeah, I was surprised at how good this looked.
I'm going to start calling you Katie. And every time you do something, I'm going to go, dang it, Katie.
Everyone will get the joke.
Right. I agree. I thought this... this trailer was really cute. I have to admit that it was not even remotely on my radar. Mm. Like when I looked at the trailer list, I was like, oh, what's this? Another VOD, you know?
Yeah.
When I was pleasantly surprised, the trailer looks amazing. The concept is not, you wouldn't call it fresh, but the movie looks good anyway. And I love it when they introduce the new robot for your house. And part of the sales pitch is, we promise it will never turn evil. And that's what you're watching the trailer. And then you're like, did I just hear that? What is that? And then you're like, oh, is that a joke? And then it turns out that's the whole premise of the movie, is that these robots turn evil and attack the world. And presumably this family has to bond together to save the world.
Right. And it seems like a pretty good like family type dynamic thing.
Yeah.
Committee. That's the new
Proxima.
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 Brox.
Yeah, Connected. Runner up for my trailer of the week.
Connected opens in September. Mm. So it's interesting. There was no teaser trailer. They just went right in with a trailer.
Right.
And we'll run this on all the kids' movies all summer. And by September, I predict this will be a really strong September release. Mm. I think it's smart that it's not a 4th of July type of thing because it doesn't have the trappings of a tent pole. It doesn't have, but it looks like a great cast.
Looks solid. Is it Chris Pratt doing the dad? The dad, it sounds familiar.
Yeah. I think it's Jason Sudeikis.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Radium Girls.
So, okay, go ahead.
Is this a legit movie?
Lily Tomlin was the executive producer, or I should say is the executive producer on this movie. I think this movie is legit. I think it's a real movie. I don't think it's going to see an American release, a big American release. I think this will hit some smaller theaters in New York City and LA. It's going to play well in Europe. I could be wrong. The trailer looks really interesting. It looks like a really inspiring story. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. It's the story of the girls who... It's glow in the dark radium, right? Or the watches, they used radium on the watches to make like glowing numbers and stuff, and it's radioactive, and thus the girls start to get sick, and of course the company's like, no, it's fine.
Can I just put my pinky out for a sec?
Mm.
You complained about the CGI. You complained about the CGI in Artemis Fowl, and I will complain about this trailer. This trailer, to me, felt like it couldn't make up its mind. It's clearly what you would call, a period piece, right? But the title treatments in between the shots were very modern. They looked like they could have come out of, I don't know. I don't even want to say Harley Quinn, but, you know, some kind of a sleeker, more... The movie itself does not look like it wants to be a sleek, polished movie, but all the treatments in between the shots of the movie are very polished, gray, very modern looking. I get that they wanted the gray to match the gray of the movie, but somehow, somehow it just didn't work. I thought this was a pretty crappy trailer.
Yeah, I agree. It started off strong, but then as it went on, it got worse and worse. Yeah. And it eventually becomes like every single clip she just keeps saying, Radio America,
right,
like over and over again. I'm like, I get it.
Right.
Like they're the bad guys.
Right, right.
Yeah.
All right. Last trailer is my trailer of the week.
Same here. It's called Greyhound.
This could end up being my favorite movie of the year. It has really? It's promising. It looks like an incredible action movie, World War II movie.
Yeah.
Tom Hanks, Stephen Graham, Elizabeth Shue. This trailer is unbelievable.
It looks really good. Intense.
Yeah.
If the whole movie holds this kind of like intensity the whole time, it's going to be amazing.
Crazy.
They're taking a convoy across the ocean, and they're going to be without air support for 6 days.
5 days.
5 days.
Still.
Yeah, whatever. But and during that time, it's like there are U-boats out there.
Yeah.
And watch your butts.
And watch your butts, boy. one of the U-boats is called the Werewolf, right?
Yeah.
And that looks like that's going to be the main bad guy. And do you know, when I say Stephen Graham, do you know who that is?
No.
I don't either, because I had to look him up. But it's that guy who he often shows up as like a bad guy. And you might recognize his face from like Snatch. He's got a pretty thick English accent. If you Google Stephen Graham, it's spelled with a P-H, like S-T-E-P-H-E-N Graham, you'll recognize him right away and you'll say, oh, I love that guy. And he plays Tom Hanks, like number two guy on the boat. So it's going to be really, to me, that was a really, I was glad to see him in a more major role. I think you might end up saying this is like a breakout role for him.
Really?
And this movie comes out June 12th. So this is going to be a big summer movie. This is the movie the old people are going to come out to on 4th of July weekend when they're not real moviegoers, but it's 4th of July. This movie will still be playing, you know, and we get these like you remember, we talked about this last year. Then in the 4th of July, we get these like non-moviegoers.
Yeah.
They come. So they'll come up to buy tickets and they'll ask for tickets by saying, can I have tickets to the new Tom Hanks movie?
Right.
Like they won't know anything about it except that it's Tom Hanks, or some of them will say, can I have tickets to the World War II movie?
Yeah. Along those lines, we're going to get into we've already kind of talked about movie business stuff this week, but just that's our section here. So I have two things to bring up. One, I heard a funny story about Invisible Man.
Okay.
From another podcast I listened to that's movie stuff. And the guy said he went to see the movie and the people behind him, 5 minutes in, the guy goes, I thought this was one of those Marvel movies. You want to go? And they left.
Oh my God.
Because they thought, because it had man in it. It was, you know, like Captain Marvel man.
That's great.
Yeah. I thought that was really funny. And the second is, I want to bring up a question about movie etiquette.
Mm.
Right? You have assigned seats now.
Yes.
And I happened to be in the theater with some people who didn't like their seats.
Mm.
And they were very jovial and polite about it. But everyone who came in, they made it known that they did not care for their seats. And they wanted to sit in other people's seats. And as soon as the trailer started, they got up and moved.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the people who had their seats came in.
I hate that.
And they even went so far as to, like, guilt the people into not, like, people were like, no, no, you can sit here. We'll go sit in your old seats. And then they're like, no, 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 no. Then of course, they're like, no, we'll move. And then they didn't just move to other empty seats. Tell me about etiquette in the theater and what it doesn't have to be from an owner standard view, but as like someone who deals with etiquette in theater, I guess it's owner, but you know, how do you feel about this kind of practice?
So I'll give you a few different answers. Technically, the letter of the law, is that if you don't like your seat, you should go out to the lobby and ask the manager to assign you to different seats. Mm-hmm. And the manager on duty will be happy to do that. No problem.
Yeah.
Okay. How do I think you should do? Like, if the theater is pretty much empty and you want to sit in a different seat, go for it. My rule of thumb with all things related to movie etiquette is if what you're doing doesn't bother anybody else, I'm not too worried about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you get up and move to another seat and then the person in that seat comes in, they're like, oh, that's my seat, I'm in D12. And you're like, oh, I'm sorry. And then you vacate said seat. That's to me, like, you're still okay in my book. As soon as you start, you know, trying to make other people move to other seats or refusing or anything, like as soon as your business starts affecting other moviegoers, that's when you've lost me as an advocate. You know what I mean? That's when you've crossed the line from like whatever. So for example, a little common sense, if it's a crowded Saturday night and the movie's pretty full and you know that because you bought your seats and you saw that it was halfway full a week ago when you got your seats, then stay where you bought your seat. You know, on the other hand, if it's Tuesday afternoon and there's six of you in the auditorium, sit wherever the hell you want.
Right.
I mean, I even went, I think it was my family or maybe it was two of my buddies, but there was three of us who went to see a movie with the public and we printed out tickets for, let's say, seats 5, 6, and 7. And the theater was pretty empty, but there was another group of people sitting in seats 8, 9, and 10, which felt silly to us. So my friends and I all sat, we're like, we left a chair between all of us. So technically we were all in one seat wrong, right? We were fully prepared. Like if somebody came in and said, oh, hey, I bought E3, you know, we would have all just moved down one seat and it would have been, we would say, oh my God, I'm sorry. You know, yeah. You know, funny. Oh, you know, we would all scoot it in. No problem. But I sort of had a comfort level that, it was a pretty empty theater. We came in just in the middle of the trailers. The trailers had already started, you know? So no, I think if your business doesn't bother other people, then it's not that big of a deal. Some common sense, some courtesy. But technically speaking, if you don't like your seats, go out to the lobby. Manager will be happy to put you in different seats.
Yeah.
And if you're obnoxious about it, maybe they'll put you in different seats at a different theater.
Yeah. That's what we were kind of wondering because, well, not wondering. I knew that they could have gone out. But right. We were like, because we were in there for like 10 minutes, you know, during ads and everything. And they just kept talking to everybody how they wanted to move, and the people came and sat in front of them. They were like, oh, we were hoping you weren't going to come in because we were going to sit in your seat.
Right.
And like, just making a big deal out of it. Why don't you just go out and move your seats? Like, it was kind of semi-full, but like, there were seats.
Sure.
You know, so anyway, it was an interesting experience. They were not rude or anything like that. They were They were quite nice people, but they were definitely playing the guilt trip.
You know, and the other thing is, and we get this sometimes, is, you know, you're out, it's your night out, and you're, you know, either on a date or you're out with friends and you're fooling around and they may have just have brought that extra energy, you know, to the auditorium. And like you said, they were being jovial about it. So I don't really have a problem with that. And it's just one of those things, like, just don't be an idiot.
Right.
Like, be nice, be kind to each other. That's all I'm asking.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. So anything else you want to talk about from the weekend?
No.
This weekend?
No, let's get right into Emma.
Emma. All right. I don't know if we need a spoiler thing here, but just in case, spoilers. How did you feel about Emma?
I loved it.
My man. I love this movie so much. I think it's better than Little Women.
I agree.
I think Little Women is more, I don't know. This seemed almost like a little bit, what's the word? Like hyper real?
A little more fun?
Yeah. Yeah. Like it was like, not parody, but it was like, it was real, but then they just kind of made it almost like making, not too, I don't know.
Surreal?
Yeah, maybe that's
a little bit surreal?
Yeah. I can't think of the word I'm looking for. But anyway, I thought it was great. I love the actress that plays Emma. It was like, 3 minutes into the movie and I leaned over and I was like, I love her. Like, I love her. How
everything about her.
Yeah, she's so obnoxious.
Did you remember where you knew her from?
No.
Okay. We know her from Witch.
Okay.
But you and I definitely saw her in Split and Glass.
Oh, she's the young girl.
Yeah, Anya Taylor-Joy.
Okay.
I had to look it up because it was killing. I actually looked it up during the movie. Okay. I watched it by myself. And Yeah, I agree. I loved her. I can't wait to see her in something else. I had an interesting sort of, I loved this movie. Going into it, I was a little nervous, a tiny bit nervous, because I like R-rated movies.
Yeah.
I like the F-bomb. I like stuff blowing up, you know. I like PG-13 movies, a little bit edgy, you know, some dirty jokes, you know, that kind of stuff. I don't always, unless it's like a legit kids movie, I don't often enjoy PG movies.
Was this movie PG?
Yeah.
I had no clue.
Yeah. But this was the most fun I've had in movies in a long time. I mean, it was super fun. It was funny.
Yeah.
It was engaging. Everything about it was awesome. And they didn't, there was nary a bad word to be found.
They used other ways to get their insults around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was hilarious. And the guy that played her dad, he was brilliant. Yeah. Absolutely brilliant. And his character added nothing to the story, really, you know, but yet he was so perfection that it added a lot to the movie.
I think all the actors and everything, it was just done so well. A lot of it was carried by her. I've seen Emma done a bunch of times.
Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yeah, it's just, but I've never seen her done like this.
I want to see the 1996 version with Gwyneth Paltrow just so I can hate it.
She's always comes across as rich, but she is just so pompous.
Yeah.
In this movie. And that is like, it's not just like I come from a rich, privileged family. It's like, I come from a rich, privileged family, and I'm so spoiled, and I know it.
Right, and I don't even care.
And I don't care whatsoever. Like,
but
no
I love
one
my
can
dad.
Be. No one can be as good at me as me at right. what I'm doing.
Right. Yeah. I love her relationship with the dad.
Yeah.
But I love my daddy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I just think like, for them, they really played up what you were just talking about—the rich, the entitlement, the spoiled—and the reason why that worked so well is when she got her comeuppance. When she finally like felt it, you know, you believed it and you felt it for her, you know, yeah. And it was much more real and it was much more, and it was perfect because she didn't really like suddenly change her ways, but there was a level of awareness. There was a level of empathy. There was, you know, like you could tell that she had matured a little bit, but she was still her same uppity obnoxious self.
Yeah.
But just a little bit more, you know.
Right. The class lines got merged a little bit more, like acknowledging that the girl that she took on as a charity case who becomes her best friend becomes someone who doesn't have money, and she just accepts her still.
Right.
Because she thought she would wind up being some rich person they didn't know.
Right.
Or, you know, letting her marry a poorer guy or encouraging her to or anything like that. But just we were laughing in the movie. Like, it's not like comical bits. It's just the way things are presented
right.
are really funny. And the moment when she lays the smack down on that other lady, where she's like, "Oh, you when do you ever stop saying right. boring things?"
The challenge would be stopping at 3.
Yeah, everyone in the theater was like, "Oh!" It was a collective like, "Oh snap!"
Yeah,
that just really was funny. I want to see this movie again. I really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And I was surprised. I knew I would like it, but I wasn't expecting to like it like this.
Yeah.
Like, to be excited about it.
Right.
So.
Right. Perfect movie.
Yeah.
So well done. I did not look up what she's doing next, Anya Taylor-Joy, but I can't wait to see, you know, what she does.
Yeah. Yeah, same here. Good stuff. So we're totally on board. Go see Emma. Yeah, definitely. And if you're into new media, check out a project called Emma Approved, which was Emma modernized and done through vlogging, as if she was a paid-for matchmaker, and she had a vlog. And it won all these awards. It was really, really, really good. Like, it's done through like 10-minute snippets. So anyway, check that out. All right, coming out of Emma.
Listeners' notes, questions,
and answers. Okay. We heard from Joel Coates. He came at us with some Apple TV quote-unquote facts.
Quote-unquote.
Yeah. Probably all lies.
What's our truth meter here?
And
Wait, was that a truth meter or a pigeon?
A little bit of a
pigeon. Do we have a pigeon in here?
Get the cat. So he came out. He was defending himself about how people are watching Apple TV.
No, they're not.
Yeah, they're not.
Nobody in the entire world is watching Apple TV.
But Joe Coates.
No, he's not. He's just saying he is to piss you off.
Well, I don't know, because we got a write-in from Jordan, and he said, Joel is absolutely not the only person that watches Apple TV. I hear he watches it with his signed portrait of Steve Jobs popped up on a pillow beside them. So there's two people.
Where can I get this portrait pillow of Steve Jobs? Steve Jobs I autograph. Need that in my life.
Gotta get it.
Right.
Ask Joel. He knows where to get them.
Now, what's the joke? Like, what's the joke here? I feel like I'm out of the loop. So are we making fun of Joel for loving Steve Jobs? Or are we trying to imply that because he's defending Apple, he must love Steve Jobs?
I think one implies the other.
Is it pronounced Jobs or Jobs?
Jobs.
Jobs.
Steve Jobs.
The Googlebot strikes again.
This guy goes for an interview, and they said, what's with this 3-year gap in your employment? He said, oh, that's when I went to Yale. I said, oh, yeah, well, you have this job. We're glad to have you here. And he says, thanks. I really need this job.
I think that's bad. Okay, so what are we driving at here? Here's the thing. All right, so now we got Joel Coates writing in about Apple.
Yeah,
and we got Jordan apparently defending Apple, but also making fun of Joel. All right, so now we have listeners who have officially turned on each other. Yeah. My work here is done.
We're just gonna let this ride.
Right. We're just gonna sit back and watch it burn.
Yeah.
But seriously.
Yeah.
This is bullshit. Nobody watches Apple TV.
Who's watching it?
Seriously. Nobody is watching Apple TV. And my proof is the fact that I have Apple TV. And I turn on my little thing there, and I scroll right past Apple TV. And I choose between Netflix, Prime Video, Disney Plus, HBO, yeah. Al Jazeera.
Al Jazeera.
What's on Apple TV that I need to watch?
Ask Joel. I don't know. That Steve Carell show?
That was pretty good. And I did watch it.
You did watch that?
Okay, so there's one person watching Apple TV.
And it's you.
It was me all along.
You pulled a mask off.
Yeah, like Scooby-Doo. That was great in the Scoob trailer. Yeah. When they pulled the old guy's mask off. And he's like, I would have gotten away with it too if it weren't for you kids. But while he's trying to say that, they're pushing his head in the cop car. And, all right, so what? I need to be open-minded to Apple TV?
I guess.
Is that what we're saying?
I don't, but you do, apparently. Even though you're the only one watching it.
Why don't you need to?
Because I'm not giving in to that evil. Joel can't make me do things.
Are you anti-Apple?
No, I just giving Joel
just
a hard time.
Taking a position.
Yeah. But he had a legitimate question that we missed last week.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Regarding Impractical Jokers, why is the fact that they are a small company affect their ability to give the movie to independent theaters if they ask for it? I could understand them not having the staff or budget or whatever to reach out to the independent theaters, but if you call them and ask, why can't they give you the movie?
That's a fair question. And my sort of quick answer is you're absolutely right. It's stupid. They could give me the movie.
Yeah, especially now that it's digital.
But if I'm trying to be fair and I'm trying to be open-minded, I think that what I need to report is that a small office, like literally handful, like 4 or 5 people, men and women, in New York, distributing the movie, let's say they sent it to 200 theaters, distributing the movie, dealing with, they are a small enough studio that they are in fact not sending it out over satellites. They sent a hard drive, at least to those initial studios or theaters. And just the sheer workload related to shipping and managing and approving keys and interfacing with the different general managers around the country who are trying to ingest this content and put it up on screen, to all of a sudden sort of add a theater to that. I feel like they have a data file, they have a data set of theaters that they are working with and that they were engaged at that point for whatever particular date that was. And that to add to that, each theater on that list represents a certain amount of work to deliver the content. And I would give them the benefit of the doubt to say that they probably felt as though they had already maxed out their ability to make good on that first list, mm-hmm. because there's literally four or five of them. So it's not quite as simple as like you have a spreadsheet or an app and you click these 200 theaters and what's wrong with just clicking 201? You know, I don't think, especially for a small group of people trying to get these movies delivered, it doesn't work like that. It's not as simple as that. I guess the short answer of what I've been trying to say is that because they're a small studio, they don't have a machine in place, a system in place. So in other words, Sony, Warner Brothers, even the smaller spinoffs like Sony Pictures Classics or even like Neon, like they all have systems in place where they are used to distributing movies. They have their contacts. They know the drill. They know how to quick update files and quick add locations. They know the curveballs that come with a theatrical release and getting the content delivered, and they know how to handle those. So for them, for a more established studio, which isn't necessarily even that much bigger, but more used to doing it, they could probably, if correctly pressured, could have added an extra theater to the release date. This group is not only small, but also, you know, they don't typically release theatrical movies. So I don't know if we talked about this last week, but this sort of underscores what I just reported, which is that when I first started trying to get Impractical Jokers, I was dealing with one of those four or five people. Shortly thereafter, it was announced that, oh, the Warner Brothers team is going to handle the release. Mm-hmm. So that initial wave was handled by those four or five people from whatever little media group that was. Once they started realizing that more movie theaters wanted it than they had originally planned, then they let Warner Brothers handle the distribution. So by the time I came in on the second week of it, by the time me and every other theater in the country came on board, we were all booking it through Warner Brothers. It was just a normal Warner's release. What's interesting is I was talking to a friend of mine in the movie business from the studio side, the distribution industry is how you would call it. And I was commenting to him about, actually he was frustrated because he couldn't get his picture in our Sevenplex at Huntington Valley. And he was asking, why not? You know, we were going through the screens and he wanted to know what was playing in each screen. And I got to Impractical Jokers and I told him I was playing Impractical Jokers and he goes, oh, you're getting Jokers. And I said, yeah. And so we started talking about that and I did not end up opening his picture, sidebar. But he said something really interesting about Impractical Jokers. He said, they, meaning the group behind Impractical Jokers, they did not know what they had.
Oh.
So in other words, they thought they were going to like release it in theaters and, you know, maybe hype up, you know, the summer tour or, you know, whatever. They did not realize that they had a multi-million dollar release on their hands. So that's part of why they weren't prepared to handle a guy like me. When I reached out to them and said, hey, I want to, you know, add me to this list, they weren't prepared for that because they just didn't understand what they had, you know? Yeah. So anyway, I feel like that's a long time to go without giggling. That was like some grown-up talk right there.
Proxima?
Proxima.
Yeah. No, that was a good question. Interesting stuff
yep.
there.
Yep.
Also, big thanks to all of you that wrote in about No Time to Die. Everyone left and right was saying that the movie was pushed back, letting us know. Make sure we're on top of things.
I feel like I don't even need to read the news anymore.
Yeah.
Just going to sit back and let the listeners tell us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Make fun of each other, too.
Yeah.
That'll be the new news.
Are we doing that next week? Are we really doing that?
Do you want to?
Yeah.
All right,
I think we should.
Next week. All right.
Mine's going to be good. Mine's going to be so good.
So
I am going to really invest in this.
I mean, I should have saved Butt Boy. All right. What are you reading? What are you doing outside of the theater this last week?
Not much.
Same here.
Amy and I watched the old Bill Maher movie, Religulous.
Okay.
That came out a few years back. I think almost 10 years now, but it was hilarious. I had somehow had never seen it. I'm not a huge Bill Maher fan, but it's a good movie. It's funny. Very irreverent. Mm. I also rewatched Quantum of Solace.
Oof.
The No Time to Die had me kind of hyped to dip into some James Bond there.
How'd you like Quantum of Solace?
It's all right. It was good. I liked it.
It's one of the less prestigious ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was fine.
Yeah. I also dipped into just some Bond.
Did
because, you?
You
know, I do my Bond thing every month. And Roger Moore is the Bond that I can never remember the name of.
Indeed.
Is not in this movie.
Ah.
It was Pierce Brosnan.
We
watched GoldenEye, the first of his films. And still stand-up movie. It's funny how much I didn't remember about the movie and just remembered the old video game or you know. It's just, I was surprised by that. I also felt this was a definite different pacing for Bond than what the older ones had been. So definite switch. So that's about it. So, all right, what are we going to do next week? What's going on?
That's a stumper.
Nothing.
Bloodshot. I still believe.
What about Onward?
There you go. Onward.
It seems like that might be the better of the three.
You know what's funny? I Still Believe is going to be a strong number one picture.
I know.
It's going to be massive.
Good for them. All right. So if you want to get in touch with us and you want to tell us about all your things or make
that
fun.
That was the worst ending to an episode of all time.
Of all time. If you want to make fun of yourself or us or whatever, podcast@penncinema.com.
Nobody gets out alive.
That's the saying. other ways that you can find us is we're on Facebook, facebook.com/thePennCinemaPodcast. Also, all your podcast streaming networks out there, if you want to leave us a review, does really help us. But the best way you can help us is to
put a bumper sticker on your car and drive around in traffic.
Oh, I forgot about that. Shady Lady wrote in. She said,
Shady Lady.
How can I support the podcast? I want a bumper sticker.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll have to think about that.
I'm going to get to work on that.
But the current best way you can help support us.
Tell a friend.
Just go up to him. Lay one hand on his shoulder. Look him directly in the eye and go, have you listened to the Penn Cinema podcast?
We prefer sustained, awkward eye contact.
Yeah.
Right.
And until they answer, just don't break.
And if you don't have any friends, you're wrong, because you got us.
Yeah, that's right.
So if you don't have anybody to tell about the podcast, just tell us about it. We'll listen. We're your friend.
That's right.
You bet, man.
Your friend. The two of us together count as one person.
Right. Two half-wits don't make a whole.
Oh, man. All right. Well, once again, for the Penn Cinema Podcast, I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
Take care
and party on.
's for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.
Awesome.
Good.
Good.
Yeah.
Great. I'm happy.
It's a cut.